Welcome to the Somerset Emotional Wellbeing Podcast. My name is Dr. Andrew Tresidder from NHS Somerset, and I'm joined by my colleague and friend,
Dr. Peter Bagshaw, GP and NHS Somerset Clinical Lead for Mental Health.
And we're really pleased today to be talking about Merry Mind with our expert guest, Sammy Winter, from Mind in Somerset. Welcome, Sammy.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Mind in Somerset, please.
So I have quite a few hats within Mind in Somerset. I am recently the new lived experience peer for suicide bereavement. I'm also a supervisor for Mindline and the Human Voices project lead as well.
Gosh, that sounds fascinating. How did
what's every day's your, a different day?
Absolutely. No day ever the same.
Yeah.
So how did you get into this this role, and what's brought you to be doing this over the last few years?
So I originally joined Mindline over 2 years ago, kind of coming from my own mental health background and wanting to help others. And I've had several bereavements through suicide, one being my husband, one being my grandma. So it kind of, that has fueled me to help others and kind of just expand my knowledge on the mental health.
Thank you. I'm so sorry to hear about the personal way in which you've been affected, but you sound very positive, as though you've got learning from it and you've gained, how can one say gained from the experience? That sounds very trite and patronising. That we all have experiences and we have to integrate them into who we are.
Yeah, definitely. And I've kind of always felt that I haven't gone through the experiences that I have to not help others and to not, you know, my life has changed drastically in the past few years of where I was at the time of different bereavements to now where I'm in full-time work, working in mental health and things like that. So I feel very honoured that I can share those experiences. And, you know, we all have good days, bad days and in between days, but the journey still continues.
Gosh, thank you. What an inspiring story you're giving us. And tell us a little bit first, if you would, about the Somerset Suicide Bereavement Service.
Yeah, so this is it's a project that I'm quite new to at the minute, but we offer support to those affected and bereaved by suicide across Somerset. We do this in a variety of ways, between one-to-one support and counselling. We have a buddy system, so people can buddy with someone who's gone through lived experience of suicide bereavement. And then we also have our peer support groups.
I'm always humbled and inspired by people like yourself who can bring something positive out of what's been a devastating personal experience. Are there any pointers you can give to other people who shared those difficult experiences to help them through, apart from the support that you offer?
Yeah, I guess it would just be, do you know what, take each day as it comes, each moment as it comes, try not to. I think I started to plan too far in advance and then I was like, nope, I can't do this. Let's scale everything back. Keep life so simple and eventually you'll start seeing the movements within your life and you won't feel so stuck. You know, if we have high expectations, we're bound to fail at some point, aren't we? And realistically. Moment by moment is my biggest advice to anyone.
That's really sound advice for anyone. And bereavement is difficult for anyone who's gone through it, but bereavement by suicide brings a whole nother level of things to deal with, doesn't it? Do you want to describe to people what the additional effects are of bereavement by suicide and, again, how to overcome that or to live with it, perhaps?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is usually the why. You know, if someone dies from cancer, you can blame the cancer or a road accident, things like that. There's always something to blame. But when it's suicide, you kind of don't have that why as such. And I think that can take a lot of people a lot of time to understand and move through those feelings of not needing to understand the why. And it just brings all those emotions of anger and guilt so much more than, say, other bereavements that people might experience?
That's interesting that you say that. You've mentioned anger and guilt, and classically, as we go through any major loss and change, we go through shock, denial, anger, guilt, and then bargaining, and we either let the issue go, get back what we've lost, or we go into acceptance, and the issue is get some measure of closure, and we may, of course, visit depression on the way and sadness. But in saying the why, you're picking up something that's common to human experience, particularly when we go through loss, which is what if and if only. And those are questions we all ask ourselves every day about all sorts of important things and all sorts of trivial things. But at a time of very high emotion, those what ifs and if onlys, which crystallize after an event as a why, become very, very intense and emotionally laden. And identifying them as what ifs and if onlys can allow you to say, okay, so I've been told about the what ifs and if onlys. They circle, they cycle, they pester, they fester, and they turn to poison, which we either hold inside as anger, as guilt, or project out as anger. I recognize you as one of those two families. Would you like to please just escort yourselves off the premises? And I'm not saying that you can easily get rid of a why or a what if or if only for a big and a tragic event just like that, but recognizing that they are little thoughts that are circling in our minds, as opposed to the truth of reality of, as you were so rightly saying, living in the now and taking each moment as it comes, can allow us perhaps to get a perspective. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, so I think I can kind of give an example here. So my grandma died when I think I was about five when she died. She took her life, but it wasn't until I was 15, 16 that I found out why she died. You know, at that age, I was just told that she died, and nothing, you don't really ask too many questions, I don't think, at 5 years old. So when I was older, I was like, okay, well, why wasn't I good enough? Was it me? Did I not offer her something? Things like that. But going through what I went through with my husband, it made me realize that it's never about us on the outside. It's not that we didn't do enough for them, or could we have done this, could we have done that. No, it's how they, is so internal to them. Although naturally we do have those feelings, but it was only going through what I went through with my husband that I could really understand that with my grandma. It was never about me or anyone else in the family. It was solely how she felt.
Yes, yes. And we know that, you know, that suicide is a tragedy that touches many people around, and that's something that we can't predict and we can't prevent an individual necessarily, but on a population basis, we can all try and wear safety belts, and we can all have hope from that, because we do know that suicidal crisis often passes. And so if we can help people through that time by having a safety plan, and there's a very good one on www.stayingsafe.net, I advise everybody should have a safety plan, just like we should all wear safety belts when we drive.
No, definitely, we should.
And it's useful. But when something has happened, it's great to know that Somerset has got a bereavement service and a helpline, because it is such a big thing.
Yeah, it is. And especially with the buddy work and the peer groups, it is. I think suicide bereavement can be so isolating, and so, you know, you can almost even switch off from family because you don't want to upset them and things like that. But having that peer support where you can just be amongst others that understand all those additional feelings that come with suicide bereavement, it can be so great in helping you heal from your bereavement. And it's just a completely different form of support that we don't have everywhere.
No. So tell us about Merry Mind, and what does Merry Mind mean to Somerset, please?
So starting off, we, Somerset Suicide Bereavement Support Service, we are having a Merry Community event, which is going to be held on December the 23rd. at St. Mary's Church in Bridgewater. And this is for those bereaved or affected by suicide. And it's just that safe space for people to come, to be around like-minded people who have, you know, we know that Christmas time isn't always the most festive and enjoyable for everyone. And we just want to make that safe space for people to come and just experience just being around people, I guess. There's no expectations to be really festive and jolly. There'll be food and drinks, and you can just eat and drink, and that can be it. But yeah, just forming that safe unit for people to come to.
And some people may be surprised by the name Merry Minds. Do you want to explain how that came about?
I think we wanted to create something that was sounding festive, but also not being OTT festive. You know, like I said, the Christmas period of time isn't always happy for everyone, but we also can't dismiss it. We have to go through this period of time, regardless of anything, of how we feel. So trying to fit in the middle of being festive, but also not.
That's really, really interesting to hear. So St. Mary's Church in the centre of Bridgewater on Friday the 23rd of December at what time?
2 till 4 p.m.
2 till 4 p.m. And does one have to come along for the whole time? Is it drop-in? Are there talks?
Yeah, come in as and when. We will have some crafty bits going on. We're going to have a memory tree as well, so people can email in with memories of loved ones that we can hang up on little baubles on this memory tree that will be in the church from the 12th of December. So yeah, a time to remember those loved ones, but also just to be around people.
And it's being held in a church. Is it a religious event? Do people have to have a religion to attend?
No, definitely not. It's just a really nice venue, to be honest. We hold our Bridgewater peer support group from there, and our one-to-one counselling sessions is run on from that church as well. So it's just kind of a place that we go.
That's really interesting to hear. So it's great to have a revered building having other activities and that help individuals in difficulties and distress. So that sort of brings us a bit more to the wider things that Mind does and that you're involved in. Do you want to share a little bit about the things that you've been involved in over the years and anything you'd particularly like to tell us about that's happening at Mind in Somerset?
Yeah, so I thought I'd start with Mindline. So Mindline is a 24/7 phone-in service that will be running throughout the whole of holidays. There is a free phone number and a national-wide number. Anyone within Somerset can have up to one 30-minute call a day. Anyone outside of Somerset can have one 15-minute call a day. We also have a Mindline web chat service in the evening, which operates 8 to 11pm. And then we have services like the Trans Plus line, the Sweden line. So yeah, just a great source of way to get people to talk, really.
That's excellent. You're mentioning line. So we will put these phone numbers in the programme notes, but Mindline, Somerset Mindline is 01823 276892, and there's a free phone 0800 138 1692. And we were talking just a few moments ago about the Somerset Suicide Bereavement Support Service, which is 0300 330 5463. So that's some numbers, but we will put them in the chat for anybody who's listening who'd like to access those. Peter?
You mentioned SWEDA. That's the eating disorders line, isn't it? Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? And you've mentioned geography. Are there any restrictions on who can contact Mindline, Somerset Mindline?
So with SWEDA, we run the lines on a Tuesday evening and a Sunday morning. So people can ring in about any form of eating disorder or anything around that topic, and speak to people who've gone through training around eating disorders. There's the same number for Mindline as well, or you can access Mindline and also speak about the eating disorders there. So the only, in terms of restrictions, everyone's welcome to a call. Like I said, anyone outside of Somerset has one 15-minute call. Anyone within Somerset can have that full 30 minutes, and that's across all the sort of all the services. We also have the crisis safe space that's open to members of Somerset. We have different locations working with Mind in Somerset and Second Step in terms of offering face-to-face, telephone or Zoom appointments in the evenings.
And as somebody who's been involved in helping set it up, I think you do an absolutely fantastic job. Really, really brilliant. We know that since the pandemic, mental health issues generally have gone up by about a third and eating disorders have doubled. Do you have any ideas as to why that is? Some people blame social media, too much Zoom time, Teams time. Do you have any thoughts on what's caused the huge increase in eating disorders?
I think it is that anxiety and stress. I myself have gone through an eating disorder and mine was triggered heavily by stress. So I think the lockdown has kind of isolated so many people. And, you know, even just that fear of going out and socialising with people is enough, let alone when you add eating on top of it. And I think the...
We love to hear dogs barking. It's great. Is that yours?
I was like, are they going to carry on?
Lovely. Yeah, no, we love
dogs
it.
Dogs are always welcome. We love dogs. We'll and, keep that in.
And for our listeners, I'm looking at Sammy and I'm looking at Peter, and I can see some lovely roses behind your head as well, Sammy, on the windowsill there. So that's great. Sorry, you were saying before I interrupted.
Yeah, so I just think the level of stress and anxiety and isolation that came from COVID has just triggered all these different eating disorders and depression and things like that, that we are seeing such a increase in it all. But also I think because we have awareness out there now, you know, we are more active in talking about eating disorders and depression, things like that, that I think people are starting to look for that support. Whereas it might have been quite a closed off area, especially with like things like suicide bereavement. I don't think, unless you know about the service, you don't know there's support out there. So then you'll isolate yourself from that support. It's only through talking and, you know, stigma awareness, things like that, that we can then get the conversation going and getting people to communicate.
It's fascinating. You were talking about people having got out of the habit of socializing. And we've talked in other podcasts about how the pandemic has made us decondition physically. But I think a lot of us have deconditioned mentally as well, haven't we? Where we've become a bit more reclusive and find social situations quite stressful, especially if we're introvert to begin with.
Oh, definitely. I am one of those people. I'm like now coming into working into offices and this time of year with Christmas parties, I'm like, do you know what? I need to make sure the day after I see no one, don't talk to anyone. But it is, you know, it can be, there's still some people now that just don't leave their house and won't socialise with people. And, you know, there's a lot of fear out there, you know, in the media and everywhere. And I just think the more we can talk and the more that we can get people talking, regard, you know, no matter what their mental health condition, if they even have one, is, we can then just start bringing those down.
Absolutely, Sammy. And we know from the five ways to well-being that connecting with other people, that giving, that learning, that being physically active, all of those are so important. And that applies to all of us at all times, because human beings are social creatures, whether we're extrovert and enjoy lots of company or whether we like our own company as introverts, we still at some point need that social contact at some level. And so it's just so important.
And in the same way that if we're deconditioned physically and unfit, the only way we're going to get fitter is by gradually increasing our exercise levels. I guess the same thing applies emotionally and mentally, doesn't it? That the only way we'll overcome these feelings are by getting out there and being a bit brave and pushing ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of that can come through peer support. you know, Mind offers such a variety of support groups. We have wellbeing and friends groups, suicide bereavement groups. We have hearing voices groups, all across Somerset as well. It's quite overwhelming might be the right word, of just how much support is out there. But I think it's, you need to know how to access it as well.
That's interesting. I'd like to ask a general question in a moment, Sammy, about how people can get involved. But you mentioned Hearing Voices and the Hearing Voices group. What's that?
Yes. So this is like one of my babies. So I'm the project lead for Hearing Voices. So we offer groups across Somerset for those who hear voices or hallucinate for many different reasons. We get people that have just come in with a bit of stress and started hearing voices, to those that have experienced psychosis. We offer in-person and online groups. So people just come together from all different backgrounds with just that one thing in common of voice hearing or hallucinating. And yeah, they're just some of the greatest groups I've ever been involved with for like the subject matter and things like that.
That's really interesting, because it used to be sort of said, and there was a prejudice about it 30, 40, 50 years ago, that if you heard voices, you know, you must be mad or you might have schizophrenia or something. But that's not true at all, is it? Many of us have got little voices of negative self-talk or chatter, and we hear voices. But perhaps tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, so my favourite fact I think everyone should know is that 1 in 10 people actually hear voices. And like I said, these can come from stress, a tragic event, psychosis, and any, it can be hereditary. And different people will experience them, you know, maybe every now and again, some every day. Some have good voices and good hallucinations, and they're kind of like almost their support team, whereas other people do have really negative experiences with voices and hallucinations. And I think it's getting that stigma that these people aren't dangerous or scary people. They're just like everyone else. They just experience something that we don't. And honestly, it's so fascinating.
And I know there's been a school of thought that, say, rather than getting rid of the voices, people should learn to accept them and almost sort of treat them as friends. Do you have a set approach, or does it depend on the individual?
I guess it depends on the individual. I think my biggest advice to anyone that is supporting someone or even experiencing these voices is to find a way to talk about them in a safe way. So you can almost try and get them out of your head. Like everything that I've pretty much said today, talking is key. But I think, you know, if we're holding all of that inside, that's a lot that then starts affecting us internally. But when we can get out and talk and express it to someone in a safe way, that's when you can just start navigating your way through them, and they don't hold that such a grip on you then.
Well, that's fantastic advice. And I think you've inspired everyone listening to be willing to talk, and hopefully some of those will talk to you through Mindline. What about getting involved in Mindline? How do people volunteer? How would they get in touch if they're inspired to help? Because that, I know a lot of people who actually help their own mental health through helping others.
Yeah, so there's lots of volunteering opportunities within Mind and Somerset, to be fair. You can have a look at these on the website, or Spark a Change volunteering. We have volunteering for the Buddy Group, for Mindline, Hearing Voices, the Crisis Team. It's always a good, Spark a Change is probably a good one to go to, or the Mind and Somerset website.
And David will put those on the show notes.
Indeed, I can see mindinsomerset.org.uk. Get involved, and there's volunteering. Our volunteers work for us. So it's great to hear that. Can I just ask both of you, Sammy and Peter, we've talked a lot about Mind in Somerset. Two things I want to ask about. What does open mental health mean in Somerset? So that's my first question. And Peter and Sammy, can you perhaps both answer that?
I'll let Peter go first.
Well, I'm glad you've asked me, Andrew. We've just been recognised nationally for our open mental health service in Somerset. So a few years ago, we had this redesign where we were really fed up with people being pushed from one place to another and told they didn't meet criteria. So we came up with this idea that anybody with a mental health problem could go along and be referred and be seen either in the GP surgery, we have mental health workers in GP surgery, or by the secondary care or in crisis front rooms. So it's about trying to help people early on do preventative work, stop them getting seriously ill, and provide exactly the sort of support that Sammy and her wonderful colleagues do through Mindline.
Thank you.
Basically, Sammy,
what would you like to add to that?
Yeah, just to mirror that. And actually, it is, I think it's that just collective space for a lot of different organisations to come to offer different services. Things like Mindline, Crisis Safe Space can all be accessed through the Open Mental Health website as well, particularly like self-referrals for crisis appointments is, you know, if you don't want to talk to someone, you've got that where you can just fill in an online form. But yeah, I think it's just allowing people to explore more options that are available than just the generic go to your GP.
And I should add into that a part of the picture. So we've got talking therapies, Somerset Talking Therapies. Again, people can self-refer to that. It doesn't have to be done through a GP. And they can now self-refer to online talking therapies if they prefer to. So we're trying to make mental health support as accessible as possible to everyone. And I'm really, really grateful to Sammy and her colleagues for enabling that.
So that's great to hear for Somerset, and I'm not going to put a butt in because we've got lots of listeners from Somerset, but there will be listeners from outside Somerset, and indeed some of you may be outside Britain, and thank you very much for listening in. So how does this fit in with Mind generally in the UK and with Open Mental Health? I can see that there's an excellent website, openmentalhealth.org.uk, and there is tech support as well. Text, I said, not tech. I think it sounded like tech support. Text support as well. Well, maybe it is tech support for human software as opposed to our physical bodies. But what's the relationship between Mind in Somerset and Open Mental Health to a bigger bigger UK picture? Any thoughts? The Mind generally, because there's a Mind website, I think, as well as Mind in Somerset.
Yeah, I know different local Minds have. We do have like a generic Mindline info, and different, you know, Mind in Camden, things like that, will have their own phone line, maybe, and different support service. Am I right in saying that Open Mental Health is only in Somerset?
It's only in Somerset at the moment, but there's an NHS Confederation document just been published called Open Mental Health that's stealing our ideas and trying to make it national. So Somerset is the national leader in Open Mental Health, but it's spreading. I would mention the Mind website, the National Mind website, which is absolutely brilliant. And I go to it when I want easy to understand sources of information on all mental health issues.
Excellent. And is that mind.org.uk? I haven't got it up, actually, so I'll have to check on that a minute, but I'll look for that while we're talking. We're moving towards the end, but Sammy, is there anything else that you particularly want to draw our attention to or tell us? We've got the Merry Mind meeting, which is Bridgewater on the 23rd of December between 2 and 4 in St Mary's Church. We've got the excellent work happening from Mind, and Sammy, do you want to mention anything briefly about the text support mechanism through Mind in Somerset?
Yeah, so we have the live web chat that is available on the Mind in Somerset website and also the Open Mental Health website. So it comes up as like a little box on the bottom right hand of the page. So that's open between 8 and 11 every night, although it will be closed during the Christmas period. But this service is great for those that can't talk, don't feel comfortable talking to someone. Also, for those in like a domestic violence situation where they can't actually talk for their own safety, it's just a great, it's a different opportunity for someone to access support who, like we said, might not be able to vocalize how they're feeling, but can text it to someone. So yeah, that's 8 to 11 every night bar the Christmas period. But there are different services like Shout, Samaritans, things like that. Shout are very good for a text service as well.
Thank you. Samaritans 116123, a nice six-digit number that's easy to remember, 116123. Any last points you'd like to make, Sammy or Peter?
I think for me, it's just reaching out to anyone, someone, particularly for suicide bereavement, having those conversations with people, you know, reaching out. This bereavement service is also open during the Christmas period. So you can still phone that number and someone will get back to you. But yeah.
I'd absolutely echo what Sam has just said. So as you say, 1 in 10 of us will hear voices. 1 in 4 of us will have a mental health condition at some time in our lives. It can affect any of us. And if you are struggling with anxiety, depression, or other mental health issues, there is support available. So to anyone out there, especially over Christmas, which can be a really difficult time if you're struggling, reach out for support.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Sammy, for coming along and joining us on the Somerset Emotional Wellbeing Podcast. And thank you for all the great work you and all your colleagues do at Mind in Somerset. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening to us. So all the very best.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Somerset Emotional Wellbeing Podcast, hosted by Dr. Andrew Tresidder and Dr. Peter Bagshaw. The show was created by David Seeley and was produced by Rob Hunt's Music on behalf of the Somerset Clinical Commissioning Group.